We talked this morning specifically about a phrase within the Old Testament, Selah, and it's actually used 74 times in the Old Testament, and the idea behind it is to stop and to think about what you've read. I think this is important for our lives. I think it's absolutely critical for us to function in society, to not only stop and think about what we read within the Scripture, which we're going to talk more about this evening, but I also think it's really important for us to stop and think about what's going on, where we're at, and how we can influence people. If you're like me, you have an incredible talent in being able to figure out what's wrong. But if we don't stop and think about what we can do about it, that just becomes murmuring and complaining and showing a dissatisfaction with our Father. We've been given so much. I just think about it. every time I'm in the worship, what I've been given to get me to this point. And it makes me also realize that most people have not been given that. Some of y'all are here despite some of the things that y'all have gone through in life, and that certainly is to your credit. It's an inspiration to us all. But we live in a world that if we're not careful, it's going to get us down. You're going to go to the post office, and you're going to get a bill, and you're going to open it up, and you're going to find out that it's high, and it's going to be disappointing. You're going to find that people will represent themselves as one thing, and turn out to be something else. It's disappointing when it's in something like politics. It's crippling when it's somebody that's close to you. There are heartache situations that we have where we see innocent people suffering, no fault of their own, but here they are going through difficult things. Sometimes we look at people that are in a situation that we think they should be doing better, but maybe if we had the same background, we wouldn't be doing half as well. And the point is that just as when we go through the Scriptures that we need to stop and think about what God has said and how it applies to our life, we need to think about life. We need to think about how we're going to help others get through life. Again, mentioned this morning, was talking to one of those that work up at school, and there's a lot of challenges now that have not been there in our community before. And our first inclination, I think, is to lash out and say, well, that this shouldn't be happening. They should be doing better. Those who have responsibility should be doing better, which may be true enough. But when we talk about stopping and thinking, we need to be stopping and thinking what we can do. And I really want to encourage you in your study of the Word and in your prayer life to be looking at the application of the Scriptures and then be praying for wisdom to know what to do. Because there's a lot of things that are just hard to know. I'll bring something up. Don't take it as political, because it's not. By the way, it's okay to talk about politics. We've been lied to by Satan, given the idea that if anything is in the political realm, we don't need to be talking about it. We just need to talk about the plan of salvation and how we're to worship. But don't get outside of that, and we cannot be fooled into doing that. You know the plan of salvation. You know how to worship. And we need to be reminded of that. But there are things that are going on that are our responsibility that we need to have serious thought and serious prayer about. There are things that have happened within our country just in the last 3 or 4 years worldwide, where we have just been outright lied to about things. And this same group of people who have just outright lied to us are now talking about doing different things because certain things are happening, and a lot of people will just believe that again. It's kind of like when that old cartoon when I was growing up, Charlie Brown, when Lucy would say, "Charlie Brown, kick the ball, I'll hold it for you." And he'd say, "No, you pulled it away from me too many times. Oh, this time I really won't do it." And so he always ends up trying to kick the ball, and he always ends up flat on his back, and he always is mad at himself and always a little bit surprised. And we do the same thing over and over and over. We need to think enough about things like that that are going on where people have lied to us in the past and consider whether or not we should really be relying on them for information in the future. But we also need to be considering what we need to do about it and what our responsibility is. Because I want to say again, I'm real comfortable about complaining about things. I'm real comfortable about identifying the problem. But we're God's servants. There are people who probably won't make it if we don't influence them, just like somebody influenced us. And so there needs to be a compassion for others. There needs to be a reality, yes, but not a pessimism. And there needs to be a prayerful, thoughtful approach to our life. How can I help others get on the path to heaven? Proverbs chapter 4. This is the proverb I open my day with. I've mentioned numerous times before, I always start my day with a psalm or a proverb, and I'm in Proverbs 4, and Proverbs 4 is like the rest of the scriptures. It's packed with things for us to think about. It starts off, the subheading that I have on this is a father's instruction. This is Solomon that's speaking here. And he's talking about the instruction that his physical father, David, has given to him. But the reason that David gives him, this physical father of Solomon gives him this advice, is because David has learned these truths from his heavenly father. Probably from his earthly father, Jesse, as well, but certainly from his heavenly father. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. And give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. This idea of giving attention to God and giving attention to godly instruction is so important. Again, I think sometimes we're just tempted to check off our Bible reading off of a list and feel like that we have done something significant, but just reading without thinking about it and understanding how we need to act in response to that isn't enough. Give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." Now here, it's not exactly clear if this is teaching that is supposed to be thought of as God giving this to us or David giving it to his son, but it is to be considered inspired either way, and it certainly would apply to both a godly son to a godly father, but certainly from our heavenly father. And we need to hold fast to his words. Keep my commandments and live. You can't keep God's commandments unless you know them. It's not enough to just have it on a list. You have to know it. We've seen lists of the Ten Commandments everywhere, and we sometimes see different lists of steps of salvation and different lists, fruits of the Spirit and things like that. These are wonderful things to have in front of us, but unless we understand them, unless we're holding fast to them, they won't do us any good. Any more than going 95 miles an hour down the interstate and knowing that the speed limit is 75. It's just going to get you in more trouble when the highway patrolman says, "Do you know how fast you were going? Do you know what the speed limit was?" It's going to get you in a lot of trouble when you go before the judge. Just knowing is not enough. We have to do it. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Talking about wisdom, do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. We've gone on teen trips for the last 28 years, I suppose, up into the mountains, or most of those 28 years. We've gone a different place or two, a time or two. But there are certain things that the kids need to know. One of them is don't go off by yourself. Another is always go with somebody slower than you in case you run into a bear. That's just my part. But there are just certain things that are common sense that you do. Because if you don't, there are dangers that are there. God has the instruction that He has for us so that we'll be kept safe. And so that we can help others. And so that we can have a good life. I believe sometimes we get knowledge and it depresses us. And to a certain extent, that's just part of getting knowledge. With much knowledge comes much sorrow, is one of the things the Scripture says. But as we gain knowledge on certain things, we also need to hang on tight to hope and to joy. Because if we just look at the world around us and we look at how it's failing God, and if we look at the difficulties we're going to have as a result of sin in this world, and that's all we focus upon, we won't have the joy that's needed to reflect Christ in our lives so that others can see and want something of that. We're very tempted in our lives as we look at the challenges of life and the difficulties we have in society to want somebody else to do something. And there are a lot of things that it's somebody else's responsibility. We do hire law enforcement to enforce the law. And when they don't do that, it's distressing to us. And we hire people for different types of positions of authority. And when they don't carry out their authority, especially if part of that authority is discipline, it harms us. But never lose sight of the fact that you're the first in the line of defense. The responsibility is yours first. And if you and I are looking for somebody else to take care of things, in many ways, that's a natural response and it's a reasonable response, but we have to do our part. And sometimes our part's confusing, isn't it? I came across something, it's probably been about 10 years ago, I watched it again the last 2 days. It's when I first came across it, I was so disgusted by it, I nearly turned it off. I believe the title is 9/11 Explosive Evidences, the Experts Talk, or something like that. And I don't know how come it came across my feed, but I looked at it and I saw it was a questioning of what had happened to the Twin Towers, and I thought, I was disgusted. I was absolutely disgusted. I thought, there are people that have conspiracy in mind for everything. And then I saw that this video was put out by sponsored by some 1,500 architects and engineers. And I started watching it, and I started seeing these people. These people looked like my dad and my principals and people who were in different parts. They were respectable. And they were talking about things that were completely reasonable. And they were asking questions, and it shook me because there were certain things I felt like I hadn't been told the truth on. When we talk about pausing and thinking about what's going on, it is good to be inquisitive. But it's also good not to lose sight of what you are here for. We're here to serve God and go to heaven. If you do so blindly, just accepting whatever authority is in place, you're going to be continually disappointed. You're going to be continually disheartened. and you're going to fall into a depression that's not good. On the other hand, if you just accept what everybody says at you at face value, you're going to be continually misled. And you're going to be at a disadvantage when it comes to being a servant of God. I believe we need to think about a lot of things. I think when we talk about this sila, this pause, we really do need to think about what our responsibility is in this life. I think one of the things that's so important is that we make sure that we are prepared to serve God for all of our lives. That we don't look towards retirement from service to God. But that we are continually thinking about what do I need to be able to serve God to the best of my ability for the rest of my life. And I keep coming back to this. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn from the words of my mouth. Men will let you down. And because they let you down, it's going to make your life more difficult at times, and you're going to have to be familiar with some of the ploys that men take, but you cannot forget for a moment that you are here as a servant of God. How will you serve? Will you pray about the situation when you don't know exactly what to do? We so often look at things and say, well, I guess the only thing we can do is pray when that's the best thing to start with all the time. If we're praying to God for wisdom, if we are looking to His Word for understanding, we're going to do better than we would otherwise. And we're going to be able to help some people come to Christ. And there will be some people in eternity on the right side of eternity because of that, if we don't get so discouraged and so disgusted with the things that are going on around us. And again, this is kind of a perhaps rambling conversation about this, but my point is, we live in a physical world, but we have spiritual responsibilities. And this physical world is often a maze that we just have to kind of figure out how best to get through. But while we're doing that, we never need to lose sight of the fact that we are here to serve God and to help others do the same. And the only way we can do that is if we acquire understanding and wisdom. In verse 7, it says this, the beginning of wisdom is this, acquire wisdom. that's helpful, isn't it? but the point is, don't forget the obvious. If you want wisdom, go after it. Who's the source of wisdom? It is God. He says, with all your understanding, with all your acquiring, get understanding. While you're about accumulating things, make sure one of them is understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've directed you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that? Or do you look at life's challenges as so significant that you think that you cannot even begin to serve God without stumbling because of somebody else? Or even because of some mistake you've already made? Because we often give ourselves excuses, and sometimes we blame ourselves in that excuse and we somehow think we're being magnanimous. But the fact is, if you've made mistakes, welcome to the club. Get going with correcting the mistake as best as you can and serving God as best as you can. Your steps do not need to be impeded by those who are enemies of Christ. We do not need to be letting Satan get the victory in our lives because somebody is doing something that's naughty to us or something that's not right. In verse 13, he says, take hold of instruction and do not let go. Taking hold of instruction is something far more than just acquiring it. Again, for many years, I suppose, my way of studying was really just to read and to check it off. Read Genesis, good for me. Read Matthew, good for me. But what good did it do me unless I took hold of it? It's not enough just to be exposed to it. You take hold of it. You embrace it, just as he said in verse 8. And you don't let go. And maybe this is the hardest part of life. Satan's really good at shaking us loose of our faith. People who are Satan's followers, whether intentionally or not intentional in their following, will shake us loose from our faith if we're not careful. Sometimes you just got to grab hold and hang on. Chris could tell you about that. He used to ride bulls. I don't know why, but he did. But he could tell you one of the secrets to riding a bull is just to hang on. Because once you let go, once you get shook off, bad things happen. I think bad things happen once you get on. But this idea of taking hold of instruction and not letting go, the last part says, guard her, for she is your life. The reason that we read God's Word is so that we can get instruction. It's a manual, a how-to manual on how to live. It's a how-to manual on how to seek and save the lost, because there really are lost people. It's a how-to manual on how to help those who are struggling. It's a how-to manual on how to have discipline in your life and in the areas that you are the disciplinarian, to make sure that you're exercising that for others, tempered with love. When it talks about instruction and says, guard her, for she is your life, God's Word is our life, because God is our life and Christ is our life. And we really do need to stop and look and reflect deeply on what we're seeing when it comes to God's instruction, so that we can figure out in some way the very best way to serve Him. And we'll make lots of adjustments in life. We will increase our knowledge. Wisdom will come along and cause us to be tempered in different ways. But if we continue on hanging on to instruction and guarding that instruction, not compromising with that instruction because we realize it's our life, we're going to be effective servants. And someday, because He loves us, we're going to get to serve God and we're going to get to serve Christ forever if we don't let go of this. And it's going to cause us to stop and think about our lives, about the world we live in, and about our responsibilities towards the world, and especially towards the souls that we come across in this world. We do want to offer the invitation. You may be ready to become a Christian tonight, and if that's the case, we would love to help you with that. You might need prayers of the congregation, and if that's the case, just please come forward and let us know what prayers you need. But if you do need anything, please come forward while we stand and sing.